All right, and as we previously mentioned, we're going to go ahead and hear part two of a message that we began to hear last week, The Anchor for the Soul. The Anchor for the Soul. And I believe this is a message from Brother Kuhn. Forget his last name, but the last name is Brother Kuhn. And but the title of the message, Anchor for the Soul. And what a thing that we need, especially presently with everything that's going on in the world, but also everything that's going on in our personal lives, in our situations, in the church. Let's go ahead and begin to play this message, Anchor for the Soul, part two. Here we go.
Praise God. He could swear by no greater, so he swear by himself. I don't need you, Abraham. I don't need you, Michael. I don't need you, Gabriel. I don't need you, anybody. I'm just going to walk through this thing right by myself. You study that passage. That smoking lamp and that furnace that went walking through there was the very presence of God itself. And he was telling Abraham, him over there asleep, he was saying, I'm going to swear by myself that you're going to have that son. I'm going to give you this land. Listen to me, friend, today. God has made us a promise. And he has bound it by an oath. Hallelujah. And he's given us that hope as an anchor of our soul today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Aren't you glad for the covenant of God? Amen. Amen. Now, you know the reason God did that? He wanted the heirs of his promise to know the immutability of his counsel. And so he confirmed it by an oath. And then the Bible goes on to tell you that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now, if you could imagine today, God is attaching to our soul and to this anchor of hope. And the only way that we get this is through the Word of God. And the Word of God contains His promise, and it contains His oath to us. For God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie, first of all, because He promised it to us. Amen. And then it's impossible for God to lie because He bound it by an oath by Himself. Hallelujah. And he don't need anybody bigger than him, because there's nobody bigger than him to carry out his promise and his oath. Hallelujah. He can do exactly what he said he would do. Amen. Years ago, I was pastoring in Arkansas, and we was putting in a big septic tank, and called a man out of Little Rock to come and got a big cement septic tank, weighed hundreds and hundreds of pounds, had a special truck. He brought it out. I didn't know the gentleman. I was out there pastoring the church and working and all around, so I was somewhat younger, and I guess I felt like he needed my signature, so I introduced myself and talked to him, and I said, sir, would you like for me to sign this ticket you have here for this septic tank? He took it and he throwed it up in the truck. And he said, no, buddy. He said, your word ain't no good. Your signature ain't either. He said, I'll see you later. I paid that bill. Amen. Paid the rest of them I owed too. But, that sort of puts you on the spot. If your word's not any good, your signature is not either. But I want you to know, friend, this word's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got his word. We got his signature, you might say today. Hallelujah, we got his promise and we got his oath. I'm telling you, whenever Moses dedicated those people to God and he dedicated that covenant to God, he sprinkled both the book and the people. I want to tell you something today. This is a blood-sprinkled book I'm preaching to you from today. You're a blood-sprinkled people today by the precious blood of Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his promise today. And that becomes the anchor of my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we've got something to hold us steadfast? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your soul today whether you realize it or not, needs security. It needs safety. There's something in you that cries for serenity. There's something within you that cries for peace. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, you do something you don't have any business doing, and you tell me how good you sleep tonight. Now, if you into a lot of mischief and you sleeping good, there ain't no hope for you. Amen. You've already flew the coop. I can't help you today. God bless you. Better check with somebody else. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure everybody's so spiritual, I never fail God. But every once in a while I've made a few mistakes, a few little situations. I got something wrong with me, way down on the inside. I got something that just talks to me and aggravates the daylights out of me. I don't know. Brother Hogg said it was my conscience. And somebody tells him it's my soul. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you it's in good working order. Amen. Just good working order. In fact, it kind of reminds me, several years ago, right after I come to Gina to pastor, it's been 7 or 8 years ago now, I was going somewhere preaching, my wife and I, and we'd been up north, and we was coming back through Arkansas. It's another Arkansas situation. And we was on a little country road, traveling, coming back to Gina. And about that time was when these milk boxes was so popular. You remember when these plastic milk cartons, you put 4 gallons of milk in them. You remember when they got so popular and everybody had them? They was using them for trash cans and magazine racks and all kinds of stuff. Sort of fancy back then. I don't know why they hit, but that's the way things do. And everybody had them, a blue milk box and a pink milk box, plastic. And I wanted one of them things. They cost $7 or $8, and I was too tight to buy one. And I said, well, I'll find one somewhere. So we was traveling down through Arkansas, driving along 50 or 60 miles an hour in the car. And all of a sudden, I told Sister Coon, I said, uh-huh. I said, I'm fixing to get me something I've been wanting. She said, what's that? I said, I'm fixing to get me a milk box. And she said, well, how? And all of a sudden, we'd come up on this milk truck, and up on the top of it was a bunch of these boxes. And one of them had slid back to the back, and as this fellow was driving along, every few minutes, he'd do this, So I said, oh, hallelujah. Here's my milk box. Well, I did just what you'd do if you was wanting one. I slowed down. Well, I don't want it to fall off on my windshield. I want to be back here further than it falls off. I'm going to find it. And it'll be mine. He don't know he lost it, so what's the difference, So I slowed down, and I kept that truck in sight. Sure enough, every once in a while. I said, well, I hope that thing blows off. Speed up, buddy, so it'll blow off. So I followed along, and sure enough, after a few miles, here it comes, blowed off. He just kept a trucking. I said, boy, howdy. So I pulled over to the side of the road and hopped out, grabbed my milk box, put it in the back of the car. I said, boy, that's a good one. Didn't even break it when it fell off of the truck. I'm tickled to death. I've been wanting one of them so bad. And there's something in that box. And all of a sudden, that blue box over in the back seat started saying, I ain't your box. I don't belong to you. I said, oh, now, I didn't say anything to Sister Coon. I told her how happy I was. I said, oh, now, this is all going on inside. I said, oh, that guy, he's got a truckload of boxes. He'll never miss his box. All of a sudden, that box, I don't belong to you. Little old silly milk box talking to me like that. And here I am, a preacher. Wanted one so bad. Got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to put my magazines in it. Set it by my chair. I said, I ain't too, yeah, I wanted to put the Herald in it and stuff, see? Sanctified stuff. Yeah, Challenger. Put my Bible in there when I was reading. Hallelujah. I just kept on driving. I said, well, I can't give this, that guy's going on, I can't give it back to him. I'm going to keep this box. Box said, I'm not yours. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, don't talk to me like that. I got the Holy Ghost. Right. Now, none of y'all had never talked like that, but, we had a little conversation there in the car.
And so, wouldn't you know it, that dude stopped in a minute. He pulled in. That box said, "You stop and return me to my owner." I said, "Oh, I'm going on." No, all of a sudden I throwed on the brakes and I wheeled in. I said, "I'm giving it back to that dude." I was a little aggravated, you know. I said, "Oh, you know what's going to happen? When I give this fella that box, he's going to say, 'Oh, buddy, just forget it, just take it on. I'm going to get it anyway.'" I took that box and I went, hopped out. When the fella got out of his truck, I went around and said, "Hey, buddy, this box blew off your truck back there, and I got it here if you want it back." He reached over and grabbed it, throwed it in the truck, said, "Thank you." He went walking on. I said, "What are you doing?" "I ain't got a box." But you know what? When I got back in the car, I felt a whole big bunch better. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank God for our soul that talks to us. Hallelujah. We need security. We need something that we can sleep good about at night. My God, I couldn't have rested if I'd have took that box home. And you know what? Now, let me just tell you something. Now, this is what pays off for being honest. You say, "Well, you wasn't honest." I was. I took it back. I got under condemnation and stopped and give it to him. Amen. Hope you ain't got nothing you didn't take back. Amen. And I don't know why, but I was preaching one Sunday night at church right after that. And I don't know, I got off on some kind of subject, and I told about that in my church. I didn't think a thing about it, just told them, you know, how the Lord talks to you and all of that. I didn't think a thing about it, went home, went to bed. Got up the next morning, went out to get me a paper, and there was either two or three milk boxes sitting on my carport. Hallelujah. My saint said, "If he wants one that bad, I'm going to take him one." So two or three brought me a milk box. So I'm better off than I was if I'd have kept that little one that talked to me. My God, I don't want no talking milk box in my house. Amen. I want to sleep good at night. Glory to God. I want to know that everything's all right with my soul between me and God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us today. I want my soul to be anchored in Jesus Christ today. God, help us. Our soul is in a world that is storm tossed with tempests and troubles and trials on every side. Amen. And you may say, "Well, Brother Coon, why do we need an anchor?" I'm going to tell you, I think there's two basic reasons why we need an anchor for the soul. And I'm going to hurry because there's a lot of things happening when this gets through. And I'm going to stop in a minute. Let me just give you the rest of this in a minute. I'm just barely getting started here. And I know you're thanking God every minute for that clock back there. But I'm watching it. Nothing else, I'll know how much overtime I go. Amen. I think we need an anchor because there's storms in this life. Amen. Brother, we're living in a storm-tossed generation. Hallelujah. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got, there's a tempest that's raging about us today. And if we're not anchored to something, brother, the storm is going to sweep us away. But thank God, we're bound to that anchor. My soul reaches over here to this anchor with that promise of God and with that oath of God. Hallelujah. I can take His word and I can say, "Thank God, my anchor holds in the midst of the storm." Praise God. Praise God, praise God. And then, another reason we need an anchor is because we can drift away. You know, if there's not any storms going on, there's a danger of just drifting. You know, I used to wonder, when I was younger, I used to wonder, you know, you'd pick up the newspaper and some guy over in England or Australia or somewhere found a Coke bottle on the beach. And found a note in it, and it was from somebody in America. And I wondered now, I've been to the ocean, stood there and watched all those big old waves coming in. I said, "Now how in the name of the Lord could I throw a bottle out here in this ocean with these big old waves higher than my head rolling in and washing everything up on the shore? How could I throw a bottle out there and the waves is coming this way, and it's a going yonder way to Australia or to Hawaii or somewhere. And I found out that underneath those tremendous waves and underneath all of that tide that's coming in, that there's underwater currents, that while some's coming this way, there's some water that's pulling things yonder direction. And you know, sometimes we think everything's coming our way, it's all just rolling in. But friend, you better watch it. There's some underwater currents in life, and if you don't watch it, something's going to cause you to begin to drift. You may think that you're going yonder way when it's pulling you yonder way. Amen. Some people's like I heard about the straight pin. They're headed one direction but pointed in another. And I'm afraid that's the problem with a lot of people today. They think they are pointed one direction, but they're headed in another. And my God, friend, we can drift away from the things of God if we're not careful. But thank God if you'll sink that anchor down in Jesus Christ. I want you to know, friend, that the storms cannot move your way, and the undercurrents of life cannot separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for an anchor of the soul this morning. Let me tell you, the way you get this anchor, God tells us, and you get this hope that becomes the anchor of the soul. You get it from God's Word and through God's Word, according to Romans 15 and 4. The Bible says that experience works hope in our life, in Romans chapter 5. Romans 15 and 13 says that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says that God hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Praise God. Listen to me, friend. We have an anchor today that God has given us through His grace, through His Spirit, through the experiences of life, and most of all, through the precious Word of the living God. Hallelujah! Thank God for hope today. That makes us not ashamed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. And this hope today that I'm preaching about and I'm rushing, makes us not ashamed. Paul says in Romans 8 that we're saved by hope. Paul says for us to put on as a helmet the hope of salvation. Praise God. I wish I could talk about that priest that had on the mitre of his crown that went into the temple, that emblem that said holiness unto the Lord, the helmet of salvation. Praise God. Listen, friend, we do not sorrow as others which have no hope. Thank God that our hope helps us when we get in sorrow, when we get in trouble, when you go to the graveyard, when you go to the nursing home, when you go to the spastic school for your child. There may be a sorrow, but thank God it's not like the world has, because you've got a hope deep down on the inside. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad for the hope that we have today. Praise God. Let me tell you something about this hope. And I don't have time to talk about this. This is a big one within itself. John said, "Beloved," or "Behold," rather, "what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this," what? "Hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure." Let me tell you something, friend, just in passing today. The reason that you can't live a holy life, if you're having trouble with that, is because your anchor's not right. Amen. But when you've got a hope in God, when the anchor is right, I want you to know you'll purify yourself even as He is pure. Praise God. Thank God for that anchor today that causes us to purify ourselves. Amen. Amen. It anchors our soul. Glory to God. And my time is up. Give me just another minute. That anchor that you see over there is comprised of three major parts. It has several other parts, but the part that comes down in the middle, it's got that ring on it where you tie the chain and tie the rope, that's called the shank of that anchor. On either side of it, that's called the fluke. It's got two flukes on it. On either side, that's what reaches down into the mud and the sand and holds on. Let me tell you what the shank of our anchor is today. It's in the second coming of Jesus Christ. You study this Bible, and the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world, looking for what? That blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, friend, that's the shank of every bit of our hope today. It's in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And then, on either side, the two-pronged flukes of that anchor. First of all, we have a hope in the resurrection of the dead. Secondly, we have a hope of eternal life. And it is all tied to the coming of Jesus Christ. When He comes, there's going to be a resurrection. When He comes, we're going to inherit eternal life. Thank God. Oh, brother, I don't know about you today, but that's the thing that holds me. When the devil tempts me, when the storms come, when the underwater currents begin to pull, I begin to think of the coming of the Lord. I begin to think of the resurrection of the dead. I begin to think of that eternal life. And I say, I'm going to hold on. I'm not going anywhere. My soul is secure in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad our anchor holds today. Thank God. Would the musicians come and sing a little chorus for us? Say, Brother Coon, what's your anchor holding on to? Let me tell you something. There's so many things in this passage. You know where my anchor goes? It goes down through the outer court, Brother Tenney. Goes down through the front door into the holy place. Thank God it goes right down through the veil, right into the Holy of Holies. Thank God within the veil itself. You know what? He rent that veil when He entered into the holy place. He didn't go with the blood of bulls and of goats and of sacrifice, but He entered with His own blood. There's that blood covenant, friend. Oh, hallelujah. He's not swearing by anything any greater. No blood is greater than mine. I'm going to go walking right through that veil myself with my own blood. I'm going to sprinkle the mercy seat. I'm going to obtain eternal salvation for the souls of men. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, my anchor goes all the way inside of the veil, and it holds Jesus Christ. Thank God, that's the thing that I'm secure to today, is the Lord Himself. Praise God. Praise God. You know what? There's anchor problems. I didn't realize you could have problems with an anchor. But you know you can. There's three real major kinds of anchor problems or situations. The first one is a foul anchor, they call it. That's when your anchor gets tangled up in other lines and other anchors and you just get balled up in a bunch of stuff. That can happen to us, did you know it? Foul anchor. Hooked in the wrong place. You better get your lines untangled. Now that's some of that Diener vernacular, but you better get your wires uncrossed. And know where your anchor is resting today. Praise God. And then I'm afraid the tragedy of some people is another technical problem that can happen. They call it drag anchor. What that means is that either a storm or a situation has come along and the anchor is not big enough or secure enough, and it drags the anchor. And in essence, they begin to drift away. Oh God, I don't want to drag anchor today. I want my anchor to hold to Christ Jesus today. And then, finally, one of the things that you can do, and this is just by volition and will, there's a technical term called weigh anchor, which means that you simply just hoist the anchor up, and it indicates I'm leaving, I'm not staying. I've seen many people in my experience say, I'm raising the anchor, Brother Cannon. Goodbye. I've gone to another port. I'm going somewhere else. I'm abandoning my hope. I'm going to sail the rough seas of life without anything to anchor me. But thank God there's a term that I like. It just simply says at anchor, which means your anchor is secure. The lines are taut. and you're not drifting away. The storms are not too bad. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that my soul is at anchor in Jesus Christ. I've got a hope, thank God, that's holding me steadfast. I don't want anything to move me away from it. Praise God. If you're glad you've got a hope today, let's stand and praise the Lord. Let's worship Him today. Hallelujah.
In times like these, you need an
anchor. Listen to the words of this beautiful
truth. As Brother
Dean sings it. In times like these, how we need an anchor.
Need a Savior.
Let's worship the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everyone. What a message we heard tonight. And aren't we glad that we are at anchor? Our souls are at anchor in Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I just made a few brief notes here, but before I go anywhere with this, I just want to read the definition. At the very beginning, he read from the book of Hebrews, and the word immutability was mentioned. Let me just go ahead and read from the book of Hebrews. I believe it's chapter 6, and it was verse number 17. Let me just quickly read this. This really impacted me. It brought my old Bible quizzing days back. I remember memorizing this years ago, but the words came back powerfully when he says in verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's you and I, the immutability of his counsel. Think about that. Whew. God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath or a promise. 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It goes into verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Praise God. Praise God. And I looked up the definition of immutability, and here is the definition of being immutable or immutability: unchanging over time or unable to be changed. Once again, the definition of immutability: unchanging over time or unable to be changed. Something that cannot be changed, no matter by whatever situation, circumstance, person, thing, it doesn't matter. It just cannot be changed. And that is the God that we serve, and that is the anchor that He has placed within us. Boy, we're feeling the presence of God just saying that. And I want to end on this note, and I felt this before the call tonight, and I thought about all the situations that are going on in our church, and Brother Art came to mind. A lot of things that he's been going through, and several others in our church that have been going through some situations and suffering and trials and tests. And I know that Brother Art, he's recently going through some situations right now. We're praying for Brother Art and for several others of our situations. But I just want to use this as a reminder, Brother Art and all you others that are on the call who have been going through some things, just remember, we have an anchor of the soul. We have an anchor of the soul. And the one who delivered that promise to us is a God of immutability, a God that does not change. His promise is going to hold out, and no matter what the situation, how bad it gets, we can trust in our God that His word will not fail us. Praise God. Praise God. With that said, why don't we just end in prayer right now for our people, for those that are going through situations right now, and let's pray that God will remind us that we have that anchor of the soul that's going to carry us no matter how rough those waves of life begin to rock over us. Let's just pray right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the anchor of the soul. We thank you for being the anchor of our soul. No matter what we go through, Lord God, no matter how bad it gets, Lord Jesus, we know that you're going to keep us safe in your hand, Lord God. And it's all for a purpose. It's all for a reason. Like Brother R told me the other day, he says, Brother Vic, God didn't bring me this far to leave me stranded. And you're so right, Brother R. And that goes for everybody else. God didn't bring us this far to leave us stranded. He has a purpose and he has a reason for everything that we're going through. And we have a God who loves us and is going to continue to keep us in his hand. With that said, God bless all of you in Jesus' name. And we look forward to seeing everyone on Wednesday night. God bless all of you. Amen.